It is such a joy to be with you this morning. I love that I get to kick off the theme revisiting by revisiting my licensing congregation. So hello, I bring you greetings from Noakesville Church of the Brethren. What is less of a joy, I must say, is how Jesus kicks off this scripture passage this morning. Right off the bat, he says, "Do not worry." Now, come on, Jesus, you know us better than that. No one in the history of the world starts a sentence with "do not worry" and follows it up with anything good, right? If you're a parent, you know when your kid says, "Don't worry, worry." If we weren't worried before, we are worried now. Telling us not to be anxious makes us anxious about not being anxious. In his essay, "Blessed Are Those Who Defeat Anxiety," Gary Parker writes, "All of us suffer at times from anxiety. But if we're not careful, anxiety will squeeze our hearts, choke our voices, and steal away our joy." Anxiety, or worry, as we often call it, can imprison us, entrap us, and destroy us. He continues, "Worry can defeat our happiness and upset our inner contentment with life quicker than any other emotional enemy." Jesus understood the danger of anxiety. In this text from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages us to lay aside the burdens of worry in exchange for the freedom of faith. He did so because he knows that we cannot enjoy the peace of God if we're awash in the anxiety of the soul. We really can't find joy and peace without giving up anxiety. I find the list of things that Jesus tells us not to worry about in this text fascinating. It's food and drink and clothing. After all, those are considered basic necessities. It is hard to get people to think about anything else if they're hungry, right? I mean, Snickers makes lots of commercials about that. In fact, we might be tempted to think that the spiritual discipline of simple living invites us to only be concerned about the basic necessities and to not worry about anything beyond that. So who's confused? Anyone? Christine Chikoyan, in her commentary on this passage, writes, "Physical survival is necessary, but insufficient as a purpose for living. To reduce our human aspiration to survival is to miss our true nature and our higher calling. We were meant to live for so much more than simply keeping our physical bodies alive." Jesus starts and ends this passage with "do not worry," and he invites us instead to a higher calling, to strive first for the kingdom of God, to have the heart of Jesus, to love what God loves. Jesus tells us not to worry about what we will eat or drink or wear. But then he says something shocking later in Matthew 25. The passage I'm referring to is often called the Last Judgment or the judging of the nations. In verses 31 through 46 of Matthew 25, Jesus says that the nations will be judged and the sheep will be separated from the goats. And what is the basis for that judgment? Do you remember? "To those who were blessed," Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothing." Friends, that's the same list. God knows that these things matter. But what matters is not our accumulation of those things, our obsessive focus on having all of our needs and our wants met, but rather how we share those things with others, how we care for the least of these, our community, our neighbors. That is the heart of simple living. And it is entirely countercultural to the rugged individualism we have been raised to pursue. Lift yourself up by your bootstraps, they say. God helps those who help themselves, they say. But to the extent that we ultimately rely on our own resources and not on God's graceful care, we will be plagued with worry. Jesus will say to us, "Oh, you of little faith." Our self-sufficiency becomes an idol. That tempting siren song to work harder and accumulate more, it ties us up in knots. Instead, Jesus invites us to rely on God for our basic well-being and to be freed for a life of faith. One commentator noted, "Anxiety about our life adds nothing to our life. It only blinds us to God's provision. Living by such worry fills our bodies with the darkness of greed and suspicion and rivalry." How lonely. In his book, Simpler Living, Compassionate Life, editor Michael Schutt writes, "The presence of community is a powerful reminder that authentic wealth does not consist of the size of your bank account or investment portfolio, but in the depth and diversity of your relationships." Authentic wealth does not consist of the size of your bank account or investment portfolio, but in the depth and diversity of your relationships. When Jesus says, "Don't be anxious about what you will wear," this isn't intended to be literal. The text is about the anxiety which prevents us from striving for the kingdom of God, from loving as God loves. And you would think that we brethren, with our Anabaptist emphasis on community, would totally get this. We're the ones who claim for the glory of God and our neighbor's good, right? We're the proud standard bearers of the Gemeinschaft, that great German word for community bonds. But sadly, we went through a period of time where instead of not worrying about what we will wear, it seems like that is all we thought about. Early church patriarch Peter Need insisted that nonconformity of the world or simple living meant that we were a distinct group who avoided the sinful customs and fashions of the world. In the Church of the Brethren annual meeting of 1804, ministers and bishops were advised against baptizing people who had not laid aside the fashions in vogue in the world. The minutes from the 1864 annual meeting advised brethren against carrying gold watches, since such items are likely to cause pride. It is interesting that there was no established dress code for members during the first 100 years of the church, but in the next 100 years, annual meeting wasted a tremendous amount of time debating this topic. In fact, it was such a controversial topic, it was one of the major causes of a three-way schism of the denomination in 1881 and 1883. The early brethren used simple living, expressed by what we wear and what we own, as a means to exclude people rather than to reduce anxiety and strengthen community. To finish this brief history lesson, by 1911, a mere 30 years after the schisms, the prescribed plain dress was no longer a test of membership. It is heartbreaking that in an effort to avoid making accumulation of clothing and stuff our false god, we made simple living into an idol instead. Who we are is larger than simply what we do or what we wear. Through simple living, Jesus invites us to slow down and consider how our lives reflect whose we are and what we value. Or, as Eugene Peterson paraphrases Jesus, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Through his command to strive for the kingdom of God, Jesus invites us into God's realm where priorities are clear. The focus is not on how many toys we have, but where our hearts are. In God's community, people look out for each other and share what they have. People take what they need and leave some for others. In God's community, people think about their neighbors even as they think about themselves. I'm told in your Another Way of Chatting, this recent opinion piece by Jeff Smith in the Washington Post came up. In this article, he provided a glimpse into the lives of a community that Jan mentioned to us that takes seriously the command to live simply, the Amish. Now, a surface understanding of their culture exposes that they shun technology. They are hardcore simple livers. But a deeper dive into their reasons for banning technology reveals something different. They understand that technology, which promises to connect people, often creates division instead. For instance, in Michigan, one member of the Amish community wanted to purchase a hay baler in order to increase output and efficiency. The baler would allow him to work alone and still produce much more hay than a team of workers. The community discussed it, and they had to agree that the new machine would likely increase productivity, but at what cost? How would the community connection suffer if the entire community bought balers? They came to the conclusion that the risk to social ties and community simply wasn't worth the improved efficiency. The author cited another example where a family wanted to run propane gas pipes to light all of the rooms in the house instead of just the kitchen and the living room. And again, the community considered the effect that the change would have on a family. If each member had their own room in which to read instead of gathering in the shared space, their sense of connection would decline. And so they chose not to move forward with those plans. From the outside, we might view their seemingly odd choices as some sort of badge of honor or a matter of pride, but understanding the value of simple living as an enhancement to communal life illustrates so much more. It demonstrates a reliance on God and a desire to follow Christ's command, "Do not worry." During this season of Lent, as we revisit simple living, we are invited to consider another way of living, trusting in God's provision, so that we are free to live lives of faith, connected to our neighbors, whomever they may be, loving those whom God loves, and striving for God's kingdom. May it be so. Amen. As part of our being together during Lent, and also to incorporate the compelling vision, which has just come out in perfect timing, we will be sharing in this litany together every week. Unfortunately, I won't be with you every week, but we will be sharing in this litany together as we remember what it is to live in community in this place and as the Church of the Brethren as a whole. Will you join me? Together as the Church of the Brethren, we will passionately live and share the radical transformation and holistic peace of Jesus Christ through relationship-based neighborhood engagement. To move us forward, we will develop a culture of calling and equipping disciples who are innovative, adaptive, and fearless. This is another way of living, peacefully, simply, together. Amen.